I put the mouth. That happened. This happened last in the first service, so now I'm really, y'all are out to get me. Now, I made special request for a song in the first service, but I have some connections in that praise band. I'm married to one of the members, so that went real well, but I was a little hesitant to make a request in the second service, but I heard Lee practice in that song last week, and that's one song that Derek used to sing when it first came out, and it's a beautiful song, and it does go well with what we're going to be sharing today. I'm Sheila Bagley. I'm not the pastor of the church if you're visiting here. I'm filling in for our pastor who's taking a weekend away. He'll be back this afternoon for Brother Frank's memorial service. But he asked me to fill in, and my husband and I are small group coordinators for North Point Ministry. Some of you maybe have seen our name in the bulletin, but not known our face. So Derek and Sheila Bagley. And it's a privilege to have the opportunity to share with you today. We usually come to the first service, so a lot of you may not have seen us before. But anyway, I want to go ahead and get started. I'm sharing today about Christ, the Light of the World. Whenever we started into this month, today's December the 2nd, so we're officially, now it didn't officially start when Hobby Lobby started, okay? But we are now, I consider ourselves officially in the Christmas season. We're in the month of December, and I'm one of those people who, Debbie Hamby kindly assessed my taste one time as primitive. So in light of being primitive, we don't decorate very well, and we don't like to shop. So those two things about the holidays cause me stress. Does anybody have stress in the holidays? Okay. Well, I have stress in the holidays, okay? So a few years ago, I began to search for ways, because this is a special time of year. This is the birth of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and it's the time of year we celebrate that. So I don't want to be negative and have a negative attitude during this time of year. I don't want to be stressed. I want to enjoy the holidays. And one of the ways I found to do that was a suggestion in a little book I had called Celebrating a Christ-Centered Christmas. And it recommended using an Advent wreath. Now, a lot of the more traditional churches and the Catholic churches, Advent is something that they do. It's a ceremony they do, and it's very traditional. Our church and a lot of churches don't do that. I've never had been to an Advent ceremony or service, but Laura has a picture up here, and it's on the front of the bulletin of an Advent wreath. Well, I started doing an Advent wreath, and that is now my central decoration in my home during the holidays is the Advent wreath. There it is. And what this is, it's a circular wreath of evergreen, and that represents eternity. And then each one of the candles also represents one of the spiritual parts of Christmas, and starting on the first Sunday of Advent, which happens to be today, you light a candle and you have a service or a devotion that focuses on a spiritual aspect of the Advent of Christ, which Advent is just a fancy word meaning coming, the coming of Christ. So it's a way to focus your thoughts. Well, so tonight, I was excited when Jim asked me to speak, because tonight will be my first Advent lighting. And we'll do that in our home. Sometimes we do that with our small group. So those four candles, the candle in the center is lit on Christmas Eve or Christmas Day. It's called the Christ candle. It's white because it represents his purity, the sinless and spotless Lamb of God. And you light that too as a reminder of Christ and him being the center of our holiday. And as a whole, the candlelight on the Advent wreath represents the light of Christ, which has come into the world at Christmas. We know as a babe in a manger. In Isaiah
chapter 9, verse 2 and 6. This is a familiar verse you hear sometimes at the holidays, but listen to what Isaiah said. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in a land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. That's a familiar passage we read, and it's a prophecy of Jesus coming into the world that Isaiah made almost 700 years before that babe was born in a manger in Christmas. So almost 700 years passed from the time that prophecy of Isaiah in the Old Testament till it was fulfilled by Jesus Christ as we celebrate at Christmas. When Jesus came to the earth and he said in John 8:12, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. You know, Jesus said right there, if you're going to mark in your Bible, do any of y'all write in your Bibles? I recommend writing in your Bible. If you don't have one, if you have one that's too fancy for you to write in, go get you one that's not as fancy that you can mark in. So if you want to write in your Bible, the word I would circle right there in John 8:12 is the. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Notice he didn't say, I am a light. He did not say, I am another light. He did not say, I have the light or I'm the way to the light. What did he say? I am the light of the world. And if Jesus is the light of the world, then we need his light in our life, right? He is the one and only light of the world, according to his testimony in the Word of God. Now, people don't like to be in the dark, do we? Our human nature doesn't want to be in the dark. So if we're not going to receive Christ and we're going to reject Jesus Christ as the light of the world, what are we going to do? We're going to look for an alternate light. We're going to look for a substitute. Have y'all ever been at home when the power goes out? I mean, we have all the lights on, and all of a sudden it's pitch dark. Ever been just like pitch dark, and you're stumbling and you're fumbling? What are you looking for? Where is that flashlight? You're pulling in the, and you know, if you're trying to light a candle, that's a lot of fun. If you got to find the lighter, then find the candle, and then you know, it's really, but we scramble in the darkness because we want that light. Maybe we're doing something. We need the light. So we run and we try to replace that light that just went out. And from our experience, you know, it's usually very dim and it's inadequate, isn't it? Well, that's what happens in our spiritual life when we try to have light apart from the light of Christ, the one true and living light of the world. People do it in all different shapes and forms. You know, they look for light. They want light. And they have false light. They find alternatives to the light of Christ. What do we call that? We call that false religion. We call that bondages and addictions. These are things people are looking for to bring light into their life, but it's so dim and so inadequate. Even if they get a little spark, it's a substitute. It's not light. It's not real light. Back in the fall, Derek and I traveled to different time zones. We went west to visit our children. Well, out over in the western side of the United States, the sun comes up earlier. And so when we were there, it was nothing to pop up at 6 o'clock in the morning because it was bright, bright daylight in our room. And we would get up and like, wow, I feel so energized because it's so bright and so sunny. Even though it's just 6 in the morning, I'm ready to go. Well, we came home, and it's September, and our time, they keep pushing that savings time thing back. I'm like, ugh. But here it is, you know, and I'm trying to get up at 6 in the morning, and it is dark as night. out there. I mean, dark as night. It doesn't get dark here in September. I mean, daylight here in September till like 8 o'clock. So I had just come from the West, and all of a sudden I was like, oh, this is a problem. We have a problem here, because I want to be up in the morning, and it's still dark. So I have this bright idea. I told Derek, we discussed it. I said, we got to look at this. I said, this is affecting quality of life. Do we need to move to a different time zone? Well, that wasn't really an option right now in our life. So I started saying, okay, what's the option? What are our alternatives here? So I did this little Google search. I actually Googled the phrase sunrise simulator, because I had remembered something about that. There's some kind of device, you know, out there. Well, this is what turned up. This is a sunrise simulator. And it's going to come on, and it's going to simulate the sunrise for us in a little bit, okay? What it'll do is it'll automatically come on, and it gets gradually brighter until it's almost like sunrise. Almost like sunrise. Here's what it said on the website, quote, "The wake-up light simulates sunrise to wake you up naturally and pleasantly on dark mornings." Well, it wasn't cheap, but I convinced myself that this is a quality of life purchase. It was necessary, and I purchased it. Then when it arrived from online, I can't say who it was, it didn't have the receipt in the box. So I kind of was stuck with it. Because you're asking, you're wondering, well, does it work? Well, you're going to get a demonstration of it. And I guess so, it works a little bit. But I'm going to tell you, it ain't nothing like a sunrise. Okay? I've had the sunrise in my window, and I've had this little light come on for about 3 months now. And there is a huge difference. Because this is absolutely what I consider a substitute for a sunrise. It's a simulator, okay? Now, Jesus is the light of the world, and we look for simulations. We look for alternatives. But it's kind of neat, because I have this light, and it's going to be a nice little object lesson for us. But it's going to come on. It actually has birds that chirp, too. And so if I go to when the birds chirp, I've talked too long. See, because I got it set to come on and do for 30 minutes, and then that's also serving two purposes today. It's going to demonstrate, and then it's also going to tell me when to shut up. And I need that. Okay, so in the natural sense, light's something we're all familiar with. We take it for granted because we have light. But it's something we're familiar with. So today we're going to be looking at light in the natural and how that corresponds or parallels the spiritual light. I started studying this back when we did. How many of y'all are in Jim's book club? Anybody in here? A couple? In Jim's book club, we ran a book several months ago called Blessed Child. And it was a really interesting book, and it talked about a lot about walking in the light. And I got interested in that and just started doing a word study on it. And so that's where a lot of this material has come from, where I've just been doing a personal study on walking in the light. The first thing that about light is that light overcomes darkness. You know, y'all have probably heard that there's no such thing as the presence of darkness. Darkness, we can't measure darkness. Darkness is just a label that we use to describe the absence of light. You can measure light, but you can't measure darkness. You can only measure the absence or the amount of light that's there. So once light enters any dark situation or any dark room, if light comes in, darkness starts being pushed back. Starts being pushed back around that. And so we see that in the natural, that if I'm holding a candle, just a single candle, this is how powerful light is. If I'm holding a single candle and you took all the darkness in the whole wide world You can't extinguish that candle. That light overcomes darkness, and all the darkness in the world can't overpower the light even of a single candle. That's powerful, isn't it? Light is very powerful. In John chapter 1, verse 1 and 5, that's in St. John, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made, and without him nothing was made that has been made." And this is talking about Jesus. And it's using the word word, logos, meaning the Greek word for word, to describe Jesus, because he was the what we call the Word in flesh. The Bible says in Psalms 119, 105, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." And Jesus, when he came, he was the Word in flesh. So he's talking here about the Word was with God. And it says in verse 4, "In him, Jesus, was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." That is so true, that darkness has not, cannot, and will not ever overcome light. And when Jesus came on to the earth as the light of the world, darkness did not prevail. I think that the enemy thought at the cross that he prevailed and snuffed out the light, but he did not. The light still shines. Praise the Lord. You know, I was thinking about Celebrate Recovery, and how week after week we've heard these powerful testimonies of individuals who are involved in Celebrate Recovery. And do you know there's one common thread through all those testimonies? Each one of them is a testimony that all of us as believers have. Every believer, and these people had the opportunity to share their testimony, but every believer has the testimony of the power of the light of Christ overcoming your personal darkness. That's something that each one of us have. And, you know, as they shared the dark place they were, and then how the light of Christ shined in their life, and that's made all the difference of how they walk. You know, that's how powerful the light of Christ is. Colossians 1:13 uses this terminology. I like it. It says that God has rescued us from the domain of darkness, or the dominion of darkness. He's rescued us. 1 Peter 2:9 says, "He has called you," called each one of us, "out of darkness into his marvelous light." We were out in New Mexico visiting Austin and Marissa, and they sang a song called "I'm Running to His Marvelous Light." I loved that song because I could just, in my mind, I saw how it is when we come to Christ and we're in darkness and there's that light of Christ, and we're running into that light to have it fill our life and to illuminate our life. And that's a reality. If you have experienced the light of Christ in your life, you've experienced that reality. And granted, we have different degrees of darkness sometimes, but light is powerful. It doesn't matter how dark your world is. Pitch black, the light of Christ, when it breaks through, he illuminates. So that's the first. Light overcomes darkness. Number two is that light exposes everything hidden in the darkness. Okay, my light's coming on. You see this? We're starting our simulation. See it? Oh, there, thank you. I wasn't prepared for that last time, and I thought I had done something. So there we go. Okay. So light exposes everything. Back when I'll admit, I'm a pretty meticulous housekeeper. Well, I've just always been that way, okay? But probably some insecurity that I have. But when my boys were little, one of the chores that I used to get them to do that they thought was kind of fun was I would give each of them a flashlight. And I would say, "Go find the Charlie houses." Well, what they were looking for was the cobwebs in my corners. So they would take their little flashlight and they would walk along. And I had taught them how to do it. Because you got to walk along the ceiling and you got to shine the light. And then all of a sudden you're like, oh, Mom, here's one. Well, here I come running with the broom. Where is he? Whew! I'm knocking him down. Because those cobwebs were there in my house, but I couldn't always see them unless the light shined on them just right. And I had assigned them to go hunt down the cobwebs and shine them so I could come knock them down. You know, that's the way it is spiritually for us. We have cobwebs in our life. I mean, we may even have the light of Christ shining in our life and in the rooms of our house, you know, the rooms of our heart. But guess what? There's going to still maybe be some cobwebs. You know, maybe there's some things that we are real obvious to us. If we're a thief, you know, or if we have very obvious sins, drunkenness, adultery, those things I can see, you can see. If you come in my house, you see this is, you know, trash. It's pretty visible. It's pretty obvious. But there are other little things in our lives that we can cover up that unless you really are looking hard, you may not see. How about spiritual pride or pride of any kind? How about resentment? How about self-righteous, negative attitudes toward other people? Criticism of other people. Y'all kind of see the cobwebs here? That aren't so visible. Because we might even not ever say it. We're just thinking it. Do y'all have thinking sins? I have thinking sins. You know, we get to the point where we can maybe control, after years of walking with the Lord, we can control what we say. But then our thinking has to also be cleaned up. And those are the thoughts we have. And I'm telling you, when you let the light of Christ shine in your heart and you invite him into, if you say, Lord, take that flashlight. I've done it. I've said it. But on my face, Lord, take that flashlight around to those corners. Point it out. Show it to me. I'm going to come with the broom and knock, you know, I want you to take your broom and knock that down. John 3:19-21 says, this is the verdict. Isn't that an interesting statement in the Bible? This is the verdict. Sounds like a judgment. But here's the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But everyone who lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God. And Ephesians 5:13 says, when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. So there it is in the Word of God showing us how things become visible when the light shines on them. Everything becomes visible if the light is allowed to shine in our hearts. You know, this is hard sometimes. Whenever you want to let the light shine, people fear that. You know, we understand how many of you, when you were a child, were afraid of the dark. A lot of people are afraid of the dark, okay? But you know what's even more tragic? Did you know people are afraid of the light? People fear the light because they know that when they're exposed, when they come into the light, it's going to be seen what's really hiding there. So we're afraid of the light a lot of times, and we need to understand that God doesn't want us to be afraid of his light. He already knows that cobweb's hanging out there. You know, when I gave my boys the flashlight, I expected they were going to find some, or they didn't do their job because they were there and I knew it. So same with us. God knows it's there. And we try to hide it and we try to cover it up and pretend it's not there. We don't look at it. But it's there, so we shouldn't be afraid when he wants to look and shine the light on that. All he wants to do is help us get rid of it and have a clean house, have a house that's worthy of that his spirit residing in. So that's his objective. It's not to condemn us or make us feel guilty. It's to help us clean house, help us keep a clean house. Number three is that light requires an eye for its reception. I looked this up when I was looking up light in my Vines dictionary, which is just a Bible dictionary. That sounds scholarly when I say Vines, doesn't it? But it's really just a Bible dictionary. And it says that light requires an organ adapted for its reception. Now, all that means is that we have to have an eye to see light, don't we? We can't see light if we don't have eyes to see it, do we? Luke 11:34 says, "Your eye is the lamp of your body. When your eye is healthy, your whole body is full of light. But when your eye is bad, your whole body is full of darkness." Now, a blind person, even if a light's shining, they still don't see, do they? They cannot see because why? The organ adapted for light reception is either absent or impaired. It's either absent or impaired in some way. So they don't see. They can't see that light. That's spiritually so true. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 3 through 6, it says, "Even if our gospel is veiled or hidden, it is veiled to those who are perishing. The God of this age," that would be Satan, "has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God." That's really something to think about. People are blinded. People are blinded. They cannot see because they're spiritually blind. If you have people that you love in your family or close friends who are unbelievers, you need to understand that about them. They're not just dumb. They're blind. And when we understand their blindness, we can know how to pray accurately for them. We can pray for their eyes to be opened. We can pray for the Lord to flood their eyes with light so they can see, so they will see. Because the Spirit within us that God birthed within us at salvation is our eye. That's what's there for reception of spiritual light. When we read the Word of God and we can understand it and it's revealed to us, it's because we have eyes to see and God has opened our eyes. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 18, Paul was praying for the church at Ephesus that they would have the spirit of wisdom and revelation. And he prayed that that would happen by having the eyes of their heart flooded with light. I love that scripture because flooded with light, that means a lot, flooded with light. So that you can know and understand the hope to which he has called you and how glorious is his rich inheritance in the saints. So we got to understand that our spiritual eyes have to be open and God has to open them. The last part of that scripture says, "For God," in Corinthians up there, it says, "For God who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' has made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ." God gives us that light. He opens our eyes. He gives us the eyes to see. And so each one of us as believers can say, how many of y'all are like me, old school? "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see." Now I see. See, we don't, God opens our eyes. And the scripture's here to show that he opens the eyes of unbelievers. So when you have unbelieving people, and then during the holidays, if you've got people in your home and family and friends that are unbelievers, bear that in mind and pray specifically that God would open their eyes and that they would see the light of Christ and understand the truth of Christmas. Because we were all once blind, but now we see. And to us, it's so clear. You know, if I have standing here next to a friend, I have some friends who have impaired sight. And I can't stand there and tell my friend, can't you see this? What's the matter with you? Can't you? Obviously, their eyes are impaired. Okay, so I don't stand with my friend and say, don't you see? Don't you see? But I pray. So if I have a spiritual friend, a friend who in the spirit I want their eyes open, I don't stand there and say, don't you see? I pray that God would open their eyes and then pray that he would just shine his light. So it helps us understand how to interact with unbelievers. You should be a testimony. You should show the light of Christ. But you need to understand that their eyes need to be opened. So that's our first prayer for unbelievers, is that God would open their eyes. Which is leading us to the next point, which is that light is invisible. It only becomes visible when, under two conditions. First, if it's the source of light, such as a luminous object, or if it is reflected off something, such as an illuminated object. Now, here's the difference. In our universe, we have a luminous object, large illuminous object. What is that? The sun. Okay? The sun is actually a light. It's a source of light. We have a second illuminated object that over the past few days we've gotten to see really well because it was very bright. What would that be? The moon. Now, the moon is only a rock. Did you know that? It doesn't have any light. There is no light in the moon. It's just a big rock in the sky. What the moon does is reflect the light of the sun. What we see when we see a full moon is only a reflection of the light of the sun. And it's the same in the spiritual world. When Jesus said, I am the light of the world, this is the only time, only one of his, he made seven I am statements while he was on the earth. You know, I'm the bread of life. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. I'm the resurrection. I'm the true vine. He made seven statements that I am. But this is the only I am statement that Jesus made that he actually applied to us as his followers. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 14 through 16, Jesus speaking said, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. There he says, we are the light of the world. Isn't that interesting? Because he says, I am the light of the world. And then this he transferred over to us and said, you are the light of the world. Well, obviously, we're not the source of the light, are we? So what are we? We're that reflection. We're that luminous, we're the illuminated object. We're the illuminated ones who reflect his light into the earth. We're not the source of light. And so he says, people don't light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. There are two arenas here. The first one is a city on a hill. That's public light. That's when you go out in public, you're to shine. You're a city on a hill. You're in public. It's our church activities, you know, when we're there. I'm very thankful to be a part of a church that lets the light shine so brightly. We have so many people here who I see the light of Christ in your life through your good works that you're doing that glorify our Father in heaven. You know, the impact building is new. That's so exciting because there's so much going on there that is being that light and letting a light shine in our community. Up here, Celebrate Recovery, light shining in our community. It's very obvious that we are being a city on a hill. It's very public. But there's a second arena. It says, it gives light to all in the house. That's where you live. That's your family. That's your close friends. Sometimes, isn't it funny how we come home and we've been good all day. We let that light shine all day. We come in the door. I'm blowing that thing out. I ain't got time for that. Blow it out. because we let our guard down in front of our family. We're like, I can be myself. But no, your light needs to shine at home too. Your light needs to shine in your family. You know, you need to let your light shine in the house and not just in the city on a hill. But we're to be Christ's light to the world. That's an awesome assignment. It's an awesome assignment. I get excited about it when I think, you know, and we're to be the reflection. You know, we need to understand again that we're not the source. When people look at us, we can't take any kind of credit because, my goodness, you know, we're just a reflection. The moon is just a rock that reflects the light of the sun. I bear that in mind all the time. Just a rock reflecting. Just a rock reflecting. Not the source here. No matter what you see in each one of us, we're not the source. We're just a reflection. But with the assignment to shine in the world, we need to be aware that we should try to shine as brightly as we can, right? Which leads us to the last point, which is that the brightness of any light depends on the distance from the source of light. That's a powerful statement. And in the natural world, we understand it. According to the instructions that came with my sunrise simulator, it needs to be positioned closely to the organs adapted for light reception in order to be effective. In other words, I have to sleep on my right side with my face if I want it to wake me up. It's only effective if I'm very close to it. Have to be close. Has to be close to the eyes. That's pretty simple to understand, isn't it? But here's something else that I learned last year. We shared our Advent wreath with our small group last year. Had a very quiet member of our small group, hardly ever spoke. He comes to the first service. His name is Kirk Caneas. Some of you may know him. He and his wife, Karen, come to the first service, sit right over here. He's an engineer, studied physics, understands light. So he shed light on my little talk about light. He spoke up and said, well, did you know it's interesting that light follows the inverse square law of light intensity? Explain that, Kurt. What does that mean? Well, it happened to me after he explained it to be very exciting. What it is, it's really not that hard. Light gets dimmer or brighter on the square. What that means is if I take a flashlight and I shine it, I'm standing 4 feet from the wall and I'm shining the light on the wall. I back up 4 feet. How many times dimmer did the light just become on the wall? You think four? 16. It's a square. If I back up 8 feet, how much dimmer did the light just become? 64 times dimmer. It's a square. Isn't that exciting? I got excited because when he said it, he was talking about backing away. Well, I said, oh, but that means if I'm 64 steps away and I take 8 steps, or if I take 8 steps toward, I'm 64 times more. And if I take steps, I'm on a square more. Well, I saw it in the opposite, like, that's how much light I get. That was fascinating to me. Now, let me be real clear here. I'm not telling you a doctrine, and I don't have any scripture to back that law up, but I thought it was fascinating because in my personal spiritual experience, every step I have ever taken toward the light of Christ has flooded me. It's never been 1-to-1 or 1-to-2. If I take 1, I feel like I get 8. If I take 8, I feel like I get 64. I don't know about you, but that's been the experience I've had. And I also have to admit, on the reverse, if I take four steps back, I feel eight times further away. So I kind of think it may work. I thought it was interesting anyway. Either way, if it's true or if it isn't true in the Spirit, one thing is true. The brightness of our light depends on the distance we are from the light source. So how do we measure that? How do we measure light intensity in our life? 1 John, not the book of John, but 1 John. It's the little bitty books over at the end of the Bible, right in front of Revelation. 1 John talks about walking in the light. And in 1 John chapter 2, verse 9, he says, "Whoever says he is in the light, yet hates his brother, is still in darkness. Whoever loves his brother abides in the light, and in him there is no cause for stumbling. But whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness and does not know where he's going, because darkness has blinded his eyes." So there is our light meter. Even if you say, "I'm walking in the light," but you're still hating and resenting and bitter, you're in some darkness. You got some darkness in there. You're not walking in the light. In chapter 1, verse 5, it says, "This is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. So if we say we have fellowship with him, God, while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin." That's much simpler, isn't it, than the inverse square law of light intensity. It's pretty cut and dried. Anybody have a problem with those verses other than how to live up? How to let that love be in your heart. This reminds me of something that I heard Rick Warren say. There are two reasons, this is quoting Rick Warren, he said, there are two reasons that non-believers don't know Jesus Christ. One is they've never met a Christian. And the other is they have. So we need, if we're going to shine the light, we need to understand it's love. It's tied to love, walking in love. If we're going to say we walk in the light, you can be Miss Religious, sanctimonious all you want, but if you're not loving people, if you're hating people, you can read your Bible 10 hours a day, but if you don't have love in your heart, you're still in the darkness. We need to understand that our love for one another is what sheds light, what brings light. And if you're taking notes and you want to write down a way to check your love, there's a love test in the Bible. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And I would recommend that you write, if you write that down, then out to the side write this, AMP. AMP means amplified. You notice how we put the little versions of the Bible. There are a lot of translations. AMP, why don't y'all hear something? Where is it? It's morning. The sun has risen. I got snooze. I got 15 more minutes. The Amplified Bible is what I call the loud version. It's the version that just adds a lot of extra words to help you understand better. But if you want to check your love walk, and you can find an Amplified version. Don't kid me. I know y'all all got internet, so just type in 1 Corinthians 13 AMP. Pops up. And you can see in the Amplified version, it gives you a really good description of love, and you can read that and know pretty well if you're loving others or not. And in Romans It tells us that the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts through the Holy Spirit. If you have difficulty loving, just, we all do. None of us have that kind of love. We depend on the Holy Spirit to love through us, shine through us, love through us. It's not something, it's a supernatural thing. It's not something we do of ourselves. It's something we allow Him to do in us and through us. And that's letting our light shine. Letting our light shine. Letting our love, letting His, just like His love is reflected, or His light is reflected, His love flows through. So we can't expect that we're going to, you know, have that kind of love, but He does. So we look to Him. And in closing, I want to read again John 8 through 12. Jesus spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And I want to ask if there's anybody here that's blind and in darkness. If you're blind and the Lord is opening your eyes today to see the light, which that's how we prayed, that the Lord would open the eyes of your heart, that they would be flooded with light and you would know the hope to which He's called you. It's a hope. He calls us to hope to His marvelous light. Then, and He does call us. If you hear Him calling you today out of darkness into His marvelous light, then I want to invite you to come and have His light shine by meeting the light of the world, Christ, the light of the world. Let His light overpower the darkness that is in your personal life. I mean, we hear testimonies of it week after week during Celebrate Recovery. The light of Christ will overpower any darkness, no matter how dark it is. But He is the light. And you have to come to Him. But if you're a believer and you're not walking in the light, then I invite you to test that inverse square law of light intensity. Take one step. Take two steps closer. And see if that light is multiplied in your life. Test it. But if you're walking in the light as He is in the light, and you know that you're entering this Christmas season with that light shining, then my charge to you is, as I sang when I was a little girl at the Baptist church, this little light of mine, then I say to you, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. There's a dark world out there, and people need to see the light. So we need to be praying that their eyes will be open. And the Christmas season is a wonderful time for us to have that opportunity to witness and let our light shine. And we can do that through His power. We can do that with His help. So we just need to walk in His love and let our light shine for Him. He is the light of the world, and He has come to light our darkness. Praise the Lord. Lord, we just thank You so much for this time together this morning. I thank You that Your light does shine in the darkness, and that the darkness does not, cannot, will not overpower it. I thank You, Lord, that for each one here that has personal darkness in their life, that Your light would just break through and just illuminate every area of their life. Lord, not to bring condemnation or shame, but to bring freedom, to bring illumination and power, Lord, to walk in light and have victory through Christ Jesus. I thank You, Lord, that those who are here who just want more of You, more of Your light in their life, they want to walk in the light as You're in the light, that they would just, in their heart, just step forward, and Lord, that You would just flood them with Your light. Thank You, Lord, for the imagery. Thank you for being light and asking us to be Your reflection. Thank You for that privilege. Help us, God, to honor You with our lives and to bring glory to our Father in heaven by letting our light shine brightly for You. We give You the praise and the glory for everything that's accomplished. In the name of Christ, amen.